A story that just keeps coming to me right now is in Chronicles, when the army was coming against the Israelites, and the king said, he called a fast for the whole congregation, and they just began to worship, and they began to seek the face of the Lord, and they didn't even have to fight, because as they began to worship, the Lord fought for them. And I just believe, like the Lord is saying tonight, for some of you, worship is the greatest battleground for you. Do you need to begin to worship Him and praise Him in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your battle? And the words that keep rising up within my heart are, see what I will do. See what I will do on your behalf. But see, that's God's part, your part, and our part, is that we have to worship Him. We can't just understand that with our mind. We actually have to take time with Him and have fellowship with Him. And oh, the Lord longs for fellowship with us. He longs for this fellowship. He longs for the time with you. Don't worry about all the stuff. Don't worry about all the things. You just get into His presence. And then in that intimacy, He's going to work it out. The Lord is going to begin to teach us again what it means to tarry in His presence. Just to wait with Him, just to be with Him. To have no other agenda but Him.
Would you please join me over in Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read a verse that is far deeper than what maybe a lot of Christians would understand or realize. I'm going to give you a moment to get there, because I'm confident you brought your Bible, either your real Bible or your electronic Bible. Your real one, yeah. Ha ha ha, Brother Martin. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse. Now the Apostle Paul is writing this. And look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. An example of what? An example of somebody who's following the Lord. So he says, be a follower of me. But then it's not just me. Identify all of the ministers. It doesn't matter if they call themselves apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But identify others which are walking this same path. Because those are people you'll have as an example. You know, on the surface, that sounds very simple. But in reality, it's far from it, as we know. Because if we take the time to get into the Word, and we find out what it is that Paul did, preached, taught, how he lived, so on and so forth, we then have a standard. Because somebody could say, you know, well, we're supposed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Amen. I agree we are. He's our example. But then some people are going to say, ha, Jesus. Who in the world can measure up to Jesus? Surely not I. Okay, fine. Then we'll bring it down a notch. Follow Paul. Doesn't matter. You say, well, he was an apostle. Yeah, but here in this verse, mark them which walk so. He didn't say marked apostles that walk so. He said, identify them. So who else is walking in tandem with the Apostle Paul relative to doctrine, lifestyle, etc., and so forth? Those are people you can follow. Over the last few years, there has been a lot of talk about this whole thing of the seeker-friendly church. And when I say that, use that term, seeker-friendly church, it brings up concepts imagery and so forth in your mind of what you believe a seeker-friendly church is. In fact, here not too long ago, I heard about another church, and the term seeker-friendly was used more than once in reference to this church. And it was rather disappointing, and I won't say any more about that, but it was rather disappointing. However, you know, I'm thinking about this, and you know, I've come to a conclusion, and I just want to make this statement publicly and identify something, you know, I just want to make this clear, that as of tonight, Grace Christian Center is a seeker-friendly church. Now, some of you are thinking, you heretic. You lewd fellow of the baser sort. You nefarious individual of error. Well, we are. You say, well, what do you mean by, you know, listen up. I'm just going to read some scriptures to you, okay? You can write them down and look them up later. Psalm 27, verses 4 and 8. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We are a seeker-friendly church. Psalm 34, verses 4 and 10. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We are a seeker-friendly church. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We are a seeker-friendly church. Psalm 70, verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. We are a seeker-friendly church. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 4. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. We are a seeker-friendly church. Isaiah 26, verses 3 through 4 and verse 9. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. With my soul I have desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Guess what we are? How do you know? Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And we are. You got it. Lamentations 3, verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. We are a seeker-friendly church. We are. Because when you use that term, seek, seeker, seeketh, seeking, sought, I think that's about all the variations there are. Relative to God, when you use those words relative to God, then you find in Scripture what it means to be a seeker. And a seeker-friendly church is a church
that facilitates those who are seeking God. That is a seeker-friendly church. That term itself is way out of line when it is used in perspective to churches who are not facilitating seeking the Lord with all your heart. Those aren't seeker-friendly churches, not by definition of Scripture. They are deceptive, deceiving, misleading churches. They are soul-satisfying churches. They are emotion... emotion, what's the next word? They are doing what they can to appease the emotions. There's a good one. They're not truly leading people who are seeking after God. We are here. Because you see, when the Apostle Paul made that statement, "Be followers together of me." Why, Paul? Because I am seeking after the Lord. I am pressing toward the mark. In fact, he just said that a couple of verses beforehand in Philippians 3. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Churches today that are referred to as seeker-friendly are not leading people to do this. Not at all. The seeker-friendly churches today, really, it's people who are seeking to feel good about themselves and to basically appease their emotions relative to, well, I've done a religious duty, and then that's pretty much it. Because you see, a true seeker-friendly church is not easy to attend. A true seeker-friendly church is going to call for accountability. And there can be times when the pastor of a true seeker-friendly church will approach people and ask them specific questions about their life, their personal life, and what's going on. And some people would say, well, you know, the pastor, you'd have any, no, don't you butt into my business. I'm sorry, but that's not the pattern in Scripture. Because, see, it's not all about you. A pastor has responsibility to oversee the local congregation, the flock. He is, if you will, an under-shepherd to Jesus. And sometimes the shepherd has to inspect the flock. And that's not always easy. However, if you're truly a seeker of the Lord, you're not going to take great offense to being confronted over something that needs to be dealt with. Think about what the Apostle Paul did to the Apostle Peter. I confronted him before them all. And we don't see anything in Scripture where Peter punched him out. Apparently, Peter received it. A true seeker-friendly church has standards. Well, there's grace. But it's grace that aligns itself with Scripture. Not grace which is so permissive the individual feels the liberty to live however, whenever, and wherever. Now, when it comes to a true seeker-friendly church, I'm going to give you 8 identifying factors. Now, there's going to be a whole lot more than 8, but I'm just giving you 8 tonight. Number 1, a true seeker-friendly church teaches that Jesus is the only way to salvation. That's it. The moment that a pastor stands up and starts talking about other religions, or even hints that, you know, well, you know, these people over here, they call God by a different name. but it's still the same God. The moment that a pastor says that, if you're in that church, you ought to leave a dust trail behind you as you charge out the door and maybe leave, you know, a patch of rubber as you squeal the tires trying to get out of that parking lot. Now, the squealing the tires and the dust cloud and all that, you know, that's, I'm joking there. But, seriously, a pastor starts talking like that, middle of the sermon, get up and walk out. Don't sit there any longer. Don't do it. Why subject yourself to that filth? Which is exactly what it is. And that pastor is probably on his way to hell. Because you can't stand up and tell people there's somebody else other than Jesus that'll get you to heaven. You can't do that because you're trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus. You're denying the Lord that saved them. And you're leading people with you. Leading people astray. So, a true seeker-friendly church is going to teach that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Number two. A true seeker-friendly church is going to teach what really happens when a person is born again and the power of the new nature. You're going to tell people what you've become in Christ. You're going to tell them what that new nature is made of: righteousness, love, true holiness. You're going to tell them that the power of that new nature in you is the power to say no to everything that contradicts the Word of God. That's what you're going to teach people. And you're not going to make accommodation for anything other. You will set that standard, because that standard is what God has set in His Word. The third one, now these aren't in maybe not necessarily in order of importance, it's just here's a third one. A true seeker-friendly church is going to teach people how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the benefits of that infilling. You're not going to shy away from it. A true seeker-friendly church is not going to shy away from it out of fear that some people won't like it. And they'll get offended and they'll walk away. I know of a church, I won't say in what state, but I know of it. Well, actually, I know the pastor of the church. And I know how this pastor was taught. I know I know the church this pastor attended before he started pastoring. So I know what kind of teaching he heard. And, you know, he ventured into ministry, believed he was called to pastor, started a church, and the church has grown to, I don't know, a couple of thousand people maybe three. And I know that he was, you know, you must be born again and spirit-filled. He's seen miracles. He's seen healings. He knows about tongues. All of this. He knows it. And yet I've spoken to people. I've come across their paths. Come to find out, they go to that church. And so in the conversation, it becomes very clear. They've heard almost nothing about being filled with the Holy Spirit. They have probably, now I'm thinking, trying to think of everything that I've heard, but so I'll be kind of general. They probably never heard any kind of tongues and interpretation in the church. Never seen gifts in operation. In fact, the one person actually told me, well, I've been attending this church, you know, X amount of time, and I never heard anything about that. And I know what that pastor knows. And so the moment you have a church where you're afraid you're going to drive some people away, well, for crying out loud, drive them away. Listen, somebody who's truly seeking after God, they want to hear. They want to know, even if they've never believed in it. And you begin teaching out of a confidence of the truth and reality of what's in Scripture, if they're truly seeking after God, they want to hear what you have to say.
And it may take several sermons for them to finally come to the place of realizing, yeah, okay, I need this. But you don't back off just for the sake of attendance or just for the sake of offerings or just for the sake of whatever. You don't back off. You teach people this. And why do you teach people that? Because that's the pattern in Scripture. Jesus says you'll receive power after that. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, well, then why would you not want that? The Apostle Paul meets believers. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, what the pattern is, it's there. It's there. And so, if you're called to minister and you're in a true seeker-friendly church, you're going to tell people about this. You're going to tell people you need this. And you're going to teach people about receiving and how to receive, and you're going to facilitate that and pray for people to receive. Number four, a true seeker-friendly church is going to teach what I refer to as the four pillars of spiritual growth. Prayer, primarily praying in tongues, fasting, which is about food. Well, I'm going to fast using toothpicks. That's what? I'm going to fast television. I'm going to fast... Oh, I'm going to fast fasting. Yeah, no, fasting is all about food. It's all about food. Scripturally, it's all about food. You're going to teach about, again, the four pillars. Prayer, fasting, worship, both corporate and private, and the Word. Reading, meditating, studying, confessing, and so forth. Now, I know that not every church is going to refer to it as the four pillars. I get that. That's just the term that we use. But a true seeker-friendly church is going to teach people the need for prayer and praying in tongues. And they're going to explain why. You're going to know why you need to pray. And you're going to know why you need to pray in tongues. And you're going to understand from Scripture the benefits of praying in tongues. It will be taught. You will know it. You're going to understand the benefits of fasting. That will be taught. You're going to understand the benefits of worship, private and corporate. You're going to be encouraged to worship privately and corporately. And you're going to be taught the benefits of getting into the Word and reading and meditating and so forth. And you're not going to be taught that any of these things are works of the flesh. A true seeker-friendly church is going to explain that these things are invaluable to the growth and maturity of a believer. That is a true seeker-friendly church. And if you go to a church that's not teaching those things, you need to wonder why. Because those are things that are laid out in Scripture as being what we can do that directly impacts us on a spiritual level for our growth and maturity and conforming into the image of Christ. Number five, a true seeker-friendly church is going to teach that holiness is God's expectation for all Christians. That church is not going to teach that holiness is an option. That church is not going to teach that holiness is something that will happen to you someday. That church is going to explain you've been made holy because you're born again. And you have the ability to live holy in action and in thought every day of your life. A true seeker-friendly church is going to emphasize that holiness and not make an accommodation for sin. Number six, a true seeker-friendly church is going to teach that Christians must repent if they sin. A true seeker-friendly church is not going to tell you, well, you know, you were washed in the blood and that took care of everything from now on. So don't worry about it. You don't need to repent. There was a preacher. There are preachers out there. They teach that basically everything that Jesus taught prior to his crucifixion, you know, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, does not apply to Christians today. One preacher actually stood up and said, if you were to ask Jesus if the Beatitudes, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, apply to Christians, he would either roll on the floor laughing or begin crying because those have nothing to do with Christians today. That's denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And that particular preacher that said that is on the path to hell, the lake of fire, unless there's a repentance from that. So a true seeker-friendly church is going to teach that Christians must repent if they sin. This is not an option. It's something that God says you have to do. Number seven, a true seeker-friendly church is going to teach that Christians choosing a pattern of sin can end up in the lake of fire. They're not going to tell them, you don't have to worry about it. The grace of God takes care of it. The blood of Jesus has already taken care of it. You know, those things that you do in the flesh aren't really going to impact you on a spiritual level. On and on it goes. A true seeker-friendly church is not going to do that. A true seeker-friendly church is going to say, hey, you better repent. Guys, look, if it didn't matter, why did the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tell them to take this guy who had his father's wife and turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh? If it doesn't matter, why give that instruction? Well, Brother Martin, it's because that was just kind of a weird relationship. Why? If it doesn't matter, then why does it matter? I mean, it may have been a weird relationship, but to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh? I mean, come on. If it doesn't matter, then what's the big deal? Well, apparently it does matter. And a seeker-friendly church is going to warn Christians that if you keep choosing sin, then there's a place in the Bible where Jesus himself said you could have your name blotted out of the book of life. Now this is dangerous, and you just can't live that way. And a seeker-friendly church is going to let you know this. You know, I remember I was talking to a pastor one time about, you know, ministering at a funeral. And how that, you know, when I minister funerals, I let people know that the deceased, you know, they've seen Jesus. They've seen him, they know what he looks like. And that everybody's going to have that opportunity, and it's important for us to be ready. And, you know, he commented, he said, no, he said, well, you know, I don't like to get that heavy at a funeral. Now, this is a guy who's been pastoring for maybe 40 years, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking Pentecostal here, okay? And I don't want to get that heavy at a funeral. And I didn't say anything. I mean, I'm in his church, but I'm thinking, for crying out loud, you better get that heavy. You got people, this may be the first time they've ever been in a church. They need to know. They need to know. You can't back off like that. Well, he backed off. I don't know why. Maybe he's afraid of offending somebody. Offend them. Hey, the Bible says the gospel is going to be an offense. Don't worry about it. And besides that, the Apostle Paul said, who am I pleasing, man or God? Because if I'm pleasing man, I'm sure not a servant of Jesus Christ. So you know what? Don't worry about it. You take your stand with the word. Number eight, a true seeker-friendly church teaches the doctrine of the apostles as identified in the New Testament. You're not going to vary from it. Everything that you preach and teach is going to line up contextually with what you see written throughout the New Testament. That includes what Jesus taught. That includes James, Peter, Paul, and everybody else that wrote anything in the New Testament. A true seeker-friendly church is going to teach that doctrine and not alter it in any way, shape, or form. In fact, Jude, if you go back and read the book of Jude, you're going to see where he says, and I'm paraphrasing, there are people who've come along and they're trying to alter this message. But I want to confirm to you that this message is not going to change. It has been firmly established once and for all, and it's never going to change. And so therefore, a true seeker-friendly church is going to hold to this and not alter it. You know, there are some people out there that teach. The Apostle Paul taught one kind of grace. Jesus taught another kind of grace. And the other apostles taught a different type of grace altogether. It's crazy. Because the Apostle Paul, he makes it very clear. What I'm teaching to you, I got from the Lord. You know, call up to the third heaven. And not only that, the Apostle Paul confirms that he met with the other apostles and shared with them what he was teaching, and they shared with him what they were teaching, and lo and behold, they're all teaching the same thing.
So you can't alter this. It's what it is. And a true seeker-friendly church is not going to alter it, but a true seeker-friendly church is going to keep digging into it to understand everything that's written. And if you're a true seeker-friendly Christian, you're not going to just sit in a church and listen to everything that comes along. And this is why you've got all those churches out there that are called seeker-friendly, when they're really not seek-the-Lord-friendly. They're seek-the-flesh-friendly. And so you got Christians, they sit and they listen to all kinds of pablum that's poisoned, and they walk away thinking they've got truth, and they never take the time to find out if it lines up with Scripture. I don't mean to be cruel, but you know what? They're going to get what they deserve. Because see, on the inside of every believer, there is a new nature that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And our spirit, our born-again spirit, bears witness with God's word. And there should be a desire to know truth. And not to just sit. Look, you know, there are certain religious organizations, churches, that basically tell people you don't need to bring your Bible. You don't need to read your Bible. In fact, you won't be able to understand your Bible. I'm the only one who can understand it. So you come and you listen to me. That's the kind of relationship you want with God, where a human being tells you that you can't understand the Word, especially after God in His Word has made it clear to us that He reveals these things to us by His Spirit, which means we can understand. Why would God say, study to show yourself approved unto me, if He doesn't want you to? This right here is a seeker-friendly church. And I'm telling you right now, that's one of the reasons why some people have gotten up and left and never come back. Because they don't want to seek. It's not that they hate God. It's just that they don't want to be accountable. They don't want to be held to a standard. And it's not like I tell people, you have to answer to me. I'm not trying to run people's lives. But what I do is I point you to the Word and I say, look, here it is. I mean, black and white, or in some cases, red and white. I mean, there it is. What are you going to do with it? And some people just, you know, so no. You know, he's too hard. I'm too hard? Me? Let me show you something. Turn over to Jude. Lord just reminded me of this verse. Now, we're not going to read through all of this. Let's just jump to the end. And he says, verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, why did he say that? It's because he's already identified that there are people twisting the word of faith, the message of the gospel. And he's saying, look, to protect yourself from falling prey to these false teachers, you need to build yourself up on your most holy faith. He's not speaking exclusively of faith to get the blind eyes open and faith to believe for money and all that. No, faith in your relationship with God. And he says, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, an unwavering belief in him and everything that he has said. How do you do that? By praying in the Holy Ghost. And you'll be keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, look here, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, pulling them out of the fire. Do you know that what I do here, the non-relenting, non-compromising, what I deliver here, for some people is an attempt to pull them out of the fire, because that's where they're headed. And it's like I'm trying to grab them by the scruff of the neck and drag them back up. And you can't keep going like this. Slap, slap. And some people don't like that. Well, you know what? If you don't like it, that's okay. A lot of people don't. But you had better not walk in the direction of these things that are going to lead you away from Jesus. You better take God's word seriously. And see, this is the kind of thing that a true seeker-friendly church is going to do. It is going to facilitate those who are seeking after God and really do want to grow spiritually and really do want to mature in Him. It's a church that is going to refuse to compromise truth for the sake of keeping people happy. It is a true, a true seeker-friendly church is a church that will watch as people walk out the door because, well, you know, just can't take this. And I disagree with you, you know, the blood of Jesus is taking care of everything and, you know, the grace and the blah, blah, blah and all that other good. A true seeker-friendly church will watch those kind of folks leave and not run after everybody who walks out the door. You say, well, that's kind of cruel. Follow the pattern of Jesus. They didn't want to hear truth, and they walked with Him no more. And Jesus said, well, while everybody's in the mood for walking, what about you 12? You going too? Because I have a mission to complete here on earth, and I'm going to do it with you or without you. So what do you guys want? And Peter said, well, where would we go? You're the one with the words of truth. Jesus said, all right, let's go. And, oh, by the way, my path leads to the cross. You ready? And remember, even Peter, he kind of challenged that one, this shall never be. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. A true seeker-friendly church is more concerned about their walk with God than their relationships with people. Because if you have the right kind of relationship with God, you're going to end up with the right kind of relationship with people. And that includes people who don't want to be around you. This is a seeker-friendly church of the right kind. Glory to God. And I say it won't change. Praise the Lord. Please stand.